Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is In Plain English, and we are doing our daily book read. We are, of course, doing The Purpose-Driven Life, and I have a lot to say, but just in a small amount of time. So we're going to do our very best to get into it as soon as possible. Now, this particular day, it's day 20, I believe. And what it's about is about restoring relationships, I believe, today. And looking at, like, what this guy, not guy, look at how I'm talking about it, this guy, looking at what Rick Warren actually writes, man, to me, it's so weak, man. It's just weak. Like, it's really, 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 really weak. Weak things. And from what I came across, too, it was some serious mind-bending things in there. Like, the Dr. No, a little sneaky, do this. And pretty much it's techniques, like mind-altering techniques to, for the most part, to shut up. You know, just shut up and accept your role in the universe, but not really truly solve problems, you know? I mean, it's just my opinion. I'm just sharing my opinion. I'm not saying it's true or false. I'm just sharing my opinion, okay? So, I definitely have beef with a lot of the stuff that that was in this particular day. I definitely have issues with a lot of the stuff that's in this particular day. I definitely think in a lot of ways, like, this day ain't the business, you know. Ain't the business. And here's the reason, you know. This aspect of restoring relationships. One thing that really bothered me, again, restoring broken fellowship. One thing that I really had a problem with is taking every broken fellowship and equating it to an issue that you have with God. That's not true. You know, that actually isn't true. It would be literally, well, if we're going to talk about breaking fellowship, let's talk about every sin, not just, you know, insignificance. Oh, well, she said something mean about me. Like, I'm talking about situations that, you know, you're completely different. You know, maybe something terrible happened with you. Something, you know, like unbelievable. And, you know, and the expectation to actually try to turn it into, well, you just need to get your heart right. I have an issue with that. I definitely have an issue with that. You need to go get that person and go to that person. When that person may not want you, that person may have wanted to do what they did with all their heart and all their mind. You know? You know, so again, so I'll put it to you this way. Let's say someone stole your car. They stole your car. Let's say it's a, you know, you're with certain Christians, and they happen to have, you know, car stealing tendencies, right? So they stole your car, you know, and so based on what this guy is saying, is you need to make sure, you know, the issue you have with them actually goes back to God, and it doesn't, you know. you need your car back, you know. And based on what this guy's saying, you need to get on the bus, go to where they actually have your car and apologize to them and make things right with how you feel about what they did. He actually said, literally suggested being deceitful to somebody. You know, literally being deceitful. What did he say? What did he have? And he said, if you don't agree with somebody, or, you know, where is it? Oh yeah. Don't try to talk people out of how they feel first. Just listen and let them unload emotionally without being defensive. So it's coming off like a game, like, you know, just let them be upset. You know, people get mad when they get their feelings hurt. Just let them talk. You know, people are so crazy these days. You know, it comes off like that. And then the very next sentence is, not that you understand even when you don't agree. That's lying, brothers and sisters. Let's lie. Let's lie to them. Just so that they can, you know, let's be deceitful. I didn't write it. He wrote it. Not that you understand even when you don't agree. Why? Why should you be deceitful to someone that's hurt by what you did or their feelings? This to me sounds so corporate. It sounds just very like, you know, the customer's always right, you know, dealing with angry customers. Like, your particular brand of Christianity, or you being your own brand to them, it's just not working, right? And, you know, people get upset. You just gotta let them, you know, just let their frustrations out. You know, people with, you know, feelings aren't always true or logical, you know. You know, in fact, resentment makes us act and think in foolish ways. So really, they're foolish. Really, they might be acting foolish. So just bear with the fool while they hem and haw, hoop and holler. But again, to me, that to me comes off so different than the section that is shared. Sympathize with their feelings. How can you sympathize with their feelings when you're nodding that you understand even when you don't agree? Like, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. He talks about, in this section, it's a sacrifice to patiently absorb the anger of others, especially if it's unfounded. But we're not called to absorb the anger of others. Are we? Are we called to absorb the anger of others? I thought we take their frustrations and anger to God with them. That we're not, you know, they're punching bag per se. That's not what we're here for. So how do you deal with somebody who's angry or frustrated, or, you know, you and them go to prayer with each other. But listen, though, if back to the car, if I've stolen someone's car, I give them the car back. Then we talk about feelings. We don't spend the time talking about feelings and about emotions about me having stolen their car, and I sit there and I just nod, and the keys are in my back pocket, and I'm just like, oh, yeah. Why haven't you given me my car? I had to walk to work, and you haven't been answering your phone. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, I can understand how you could be mad about that. yeah, I understand, you know, you're upset, and, you know, that's, you know, I can understand your frustration. And I'm sitting there, and we, well, you know, and they're just looking at me, right, and yelling at me because of what I did. But I'm not willing to repent. Really, the essence of it is, I just hope they drink a cup, a shut up. Really, is what I'm looking for. Just go ahead and drink that cup of shut up and say what you got to say, because I'm going to do what I'm going to do and have a nice day, you know. And that's what I feel from that particular chapter, you know. He brought up the phrase peace conference, dude. Peace conference? I'm not going to even talk about that. The section that's in the section, always take the initiative. This to me is insane. It doesn't matter whether you are the offender or the offended. God expects you to make the first move. Yeah, and rightly so. But this is what's interesting. You don't have the situation where he talks about where you've wronged somebody. He has a situation of where the person who's wrong going to the person who's been wronged. You know. You know, let's see. Because, again, you know, these peace conference that you're talking about, it's this, to me, in a lot of ways, that's disingenuous. There is no conference. It should be actually, I believe, it should be more of a conference of throwing yourself before them in an aspect of mercy. Like, will you please have mercy on me for sinning against you? Or that's the person that did wrong. Or you have the person that actually did do wrong, who was wrong. You're causing me to struggle. You really hurt me right here. You're really causing me to struggle and not want to have anything to do with you, etc. I'm gonna need you to give me my car back. Not where we're just talking about stuff. To me, this is an issue. Reducing Christianity to just words, but not acting, not neutralizing our negative acts with positive acts. We try to neutralize the wrongs that we've done by, let's just talk it out. No, give me back my car. No, is there any way I can do this without giving you back my car? Giving you back your car? No. Give me back my car. You know, that's the issue I have. He talks about confessing your part of the conflict, but then I'm trying to figure out, like, if someone's raped, how is there any fault with you being raped? Was I wearing the wrong dress? Was I showing too much arm or leg? I'm sorry for you raping me. It's insane. It's insane, at least. You know, when you begin by humbly admitting your mistakes, it diffuses. And this is the issue too, where it sounds, again, this sounds a lot like game. Like this dude is spitting some game here, spitting that game. Confession is a powerful tool for reconciliation. Often the way we handle conflict creates bigger hurt than the original problem itself. When you begin by humbly admitting your mistakes, it diffuses the other person's anger and disarms their attack, because they were probably expecting you to be defensive. That's a technique. That to me has no heart into it. That's a trick. There's a sleight of hand, like, okay, I'm going to do this, and they're going to shut. You're going to have a cup, a shut up. That's really what I want them to do, just, you know, to make them defenseless. And even if I'm right or wrong, to where they won't have anything to say. No. You know, and to me, and then on top of that, when it's just like, I'm just going to diffuse a situation. Diffusion of a situation doesn't mean that you fixed anything. Perfect example, you have indicator light in your car that's saying change oil, change oil. You diffuse that line, you know, you disarm the line, you disconnect the line. Oh, no oil light. And then, you know, 5 weeks later, boom, your engine explodes. Are we looking to love and really restore broken friendships? Or are we just trying to get people to just have a cup of shut up, sit down, take the pain that I have inflicted on you? And I have no problem with, you know, I'd literally rather deal with God in the judgment that's coming on me than to repent and love my brother or sister. That's what I feel from this. And that's what very much terrifies me. We have more cliches, you know, there's like literally a wall of cliches, like attack the problem, not the person. Two thumbs up, you know. Ugh, you cannot fix a problem if you're consumed with fixing the blame. Oh, there's another one. It's just, you know, nagging never works. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. Bang, bang, you know, it's, you know, another cliche. For the sake of fellowship, you must destroy your arsenal of relational nuclear weapons, including condemnation, belittling, comparison, labeling, insulting, condescending, and being sarcastic. These aren't real problems to me. This isn't where, in a situation where someone's killed somebody, or this sounds like insignificant, silly, you know, empty church, you know, issues. You know, not anything real. People aren't really doing anything. So the issue I have with this is that I believe there's more, to me, I believe there's more of an emphasis and a focus on things that don't matter. So when it's really a serious issue where people really need to be engaged and really do need to be, really do need to take care of broken fellowship, you know, it won't happen. You know, and why do I say that? Because I see that as well in another section in here. Cooperate as much as possible. Sometimes it costs our pride, often costs our self-centeredness for the sake of fellowship. Do your best to compromise, adjust to others, and show preference to what they need. Like, again, it's like this stuff, I mean, this stuff isn't, these are, when I read that, it's like I almost know that people aren't really being open about their sin, their hardships, or their real issues. Because if you're speaking of, for the sake of fellowship, do your best to compromise, adjust to others, and show preference to what they need, that's just like, oh, well, you know, let's get along. The last section, and I'm going to go back and go over one more part that really bothered me too about this section. Reconciliation focuses on the relationship, while resolution focuses on the problem. When we focus on reconciliation, the problem loses significance and often becomes irrelevant. It's unrealistic to expect everyone to agree about everything, you know, and it's like, so when we focus on the problem, when we focus on reconciliation, the problem loses significance and often becomes irrelevant. So let's just hug this thing out and let's just reconcile, and then, you know, you get back on the bus and I get to keep your car. The problem loses significance and often becomes irrelevant. You know, what's important is that we're friends. What's important is that, you know, we talk this thing out. And I have no desire to give you back your car. But but let's be friends. You know, yeah, you know, it's just a car, you know? And then you can convince yourself, it's just a car, no big deal. You know, I can take the bus. But we have friends, and that's what's important, you know? And again, it sounds so much like some mastermind control, Dr. No, you know, some, you know, you know, eat the cake anime pimping, you know. I'm just talking. One more thing that stood out to me, and I'll go ahead and let you guys go. I have to read this one thing that really bothered me. I have to share this, you know, since we're picking apart day 20 here. On the first page of day 20, you know, he shared two things that really, really shocked me in a negative way. When he said, because life is all about learning how to love. I disagree with that. I disagree with that with all my heart and all my might. Life's all about loving. When I'm constantly learning, I don't ever have to be responsible for anything that I do ever. I'm learning how to love my wife, and I just can't stop cheating on her. But darn it, I'm learning. I'm cheating on her a whole lot less. It's not five times a day. It's just, you know, it's moved down to four. But I'm trying to learn how to love her. I don't love her yet. But, I mean, I'm reading my book and I'm studying and I'm getting counseling. I'm getting help on how to love her. I don't love her yet. But one day I will love my wife. To me, that's just I am set against that belief. Life is not a dress rehearsal. And that every time we fall short on love, we become wolves. And not as a Christian, you become a wolf every time you fall short on love. You know, I can't tell you how against that statement I am. He said it twice, not just in the first part, but as well in the end. If we're not walking in love, what are we doing? What are we doing? Practicing, you know, everything's a practice and just the experience. People are just here to be consumed and to be toyed around with. People's lives are just here for us to learn. You know, if that's the case, what's the use of judgment? I mean, I'm trying to learn, you know, I'm trying to learn how to love people, but I'm still doing the wrong thing. What does that even mean? Another thing. New Testament, he shares, for this reason, a significant amount of the New Testament is devoted to teaching us how to get along with one another. Get along with one another? What about love one another for everything that God created them to be? How about that? Get along with one another? Everybody is special. We're not around each other just to tolerate and just hope that, you know, that we can get on with life after we've been around a person. You know, what's the use of having a brother and sister that you just get along with? What about you love? That? What about you're devoted to? What about that you would die for or sacrifice for? What about that? And then finally, this is just the first page of day 20. Broken fellowship is a disgraceful testimony to unbelievers. And to that I say, maybe not. Maybe broken fellowship is the example or an arrow that's pointing to, you know, the truth, you know. Sometimes you do. There's people that are tossed out of fellowship. Sometimes it's a point to justice. Sometimes, too, you have to break fellowship with people because they're not willing to do things God's way. Sometimes, you know, you have to separate yourself from people until they get their mind together. I think this situation where women are married to abusive men, you don't divorce a guy, but you separate yourself from them. You break fellowship until their minds can get right, until God can work on them through prayer, through other people. But sometimes that is, I believe, warranted. Sometimes. But I don't think life's about getting along with people. I don't think it's disgraceful, a testimony for people to break fellowship. If not, what you will have is a group of people that are political but aren't spiritual, aren't godly, that, you know, just allow all kinds of sin to just run throughout the church, that allow all kinds of negative behaviors to run throughout the church. And for what? Well, we get along. We're tolerant of people. Some things don't need to be tolerated. And people's lives are not, life is not a dress rehearsal. People's lives are valuable. And they need to be taken seriously. Life isn't all about learning love. It's either you're loving or you're not. There's no reincarnation. You're not going to come back, you know, as a grasshopper or a walrus. Either you do or you don't, period. And I know a lot of people wish it was different. I'm sure many people wish it was different, but just because you want something a certain way doesn't mean that it is going to be that way. God in his infinite wisdom knows how to make a world and how to formulate everything, you know, to his glory. But that's it for day 20 of the Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren of the Expanded Edition. What on Earth Am I Here For? Went a little bit long. Was, you know, I don't know if I'm feeling him, myself, or love, but or feeling moved. But nonetheless, I look forward to speaking with you guys more on day 21 and see what else he has to share about life, love, and the pursuit of the heart of Christ. This is In Plain English.
I do this music for you, 'cause you made every single one of my dreams come true. Many will say I said it, but I can't take the credit, forget it, I'm indebted to you. Try to do my own thing, go my own way, but Jesus, I'm headed to go.
About how